We're talking about Eliyahu HaNavi performing the Nes, and he poured water all over the Oila. He filled the Ta'ala around full of water. We mentioned that the reason why he filled it up, covered it with water, was because he wanted to try it out. He wanted to prove that it's not witchcraft, not Kishuf. Now, what you prove that is... Right, that too. But he wanted to prove that there's no kishuf, because kishuf is tested with water. If it's wet, then kishuf, witchcraft, cannot control it in any way. So let's see Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayi ba'alei samincham, vayigash shel Eliyahu HaNavi vayomar, Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael, hayom yivada, ki ata Elokim b'Yisrael v'ani avdecha, uvidvarcha asisi es kol hadvarim ha'ele. So we mentioned previously that it's actually a dispute. It's a machlokes amongst the Mefarshim if Eliyahu HaNavi did this nes on his own. It was his own idea. And now, when he put himself on the spot, now he's turning to Hashem. Hashem, please make sure that I'm not going to look like a fool. Yeah, that'll work. You know, I'm not going to sit here looking like a fool, right, with no fire and nothing in my hand. Rather, make sure that the nes happens, and in fact, I will be answered. According to other Mefarshim, they learned that he actually was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu ahead of time to do this, and now he's just doubting to Hashem to make it happen. But it wasn't; he didn't do this from his own volition. So the Ralbag is learning that Hashem told him. So the end of the pasuk, it says, "Bidvarch Asisi is called Vayim Ma'ale," meaning. Baby Dvarach, meaning you told me to do so. Yeah? But he does bring another pshat, that Bidvarach HaSisi is called Dvarim Mele, is not referring to this particular episode where now he's davening for the fire to come from the heavens. Rather, what it's referring to is it's referring to what Hashem told them initially. In the beginning, when Hashem told them to go meet Achav, right? To go meet Achav, this is going way back when he met Achav the first time, and he told them, oh, because you guys are doing Avodah Zarah, because of that, there's not going to be any rain. And that brought me to bring this klala of no rain. And one thing led to the next. This finally led to where we're holding today. And that's why he's now davening to Hashem that he'll bring upon this nes to prove that Hashem is the real God and not the Baal, not the Avodah Zarah. But when it says in the pasuk "Vidvarcha Asisi," he's not referring to this particular nes. Rather, it's referring to what he said previously, way ahead of time. So those are the two ways to learn it. The Radakover says that when it says Aneni Hashem Aneni, right? He's saying, that's next pasuk. Okay, so anyway, so there's two ways to understand this pasuk. So let's continue. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. This is again part of the Tefillah of Eliyahu HaNavi. Aneni Hashem Aneni v'yedu alma zeh ki ato Hashem ha'elokim v'ata asibayis es libam achayronis. Meaning Hashem, please answer me. Why is he saying it twice? Aneni Hashem Aneni. Why is he repeating himself? Why does he say Aneni twice? So Radak just says that he's doing it just for emphasis. The Malbim explains over here, Aneni, in a way that it's going to be clear by everybody that you are Hashem. That you are in fact Hashem. Kiyat Hashem hu alekim, that you are in fact Hashem. And v'ani avdecha. Meaning, come appear in a way that it'll be clear that the nes that's happening is not through kishuf, not through witchcraft, rather it's coming from Hashem, and not only a god can mean any god, right? It could be a god of the fire. That's what performed the nes. No, want you to donate in a way where it's proven that you're the one who orchestrates, who controls everything, who orchestrates all the events. Doesn't control only the fire, right? He controls everything. That's what we're saying when we say Aneni Hashem Aneni.
What does he mean? He says here, you have turned their hearts backwards.
Yes. So we're going to talk about that right now. What does that mean? What does that mean? So there are a few very interesting pshatim over here. The Radak brings a few pshatim. First of all, the simple pshat is brought by Rav Sadi Goyen. Rav Sadi Goyen explains that that until now, their heart was achironis, their heart was back, meaning away from you, Hashem. And now, by performing this neis, you're going to bring their heart forward towards you.
I mean, the pasuk says you have turned. That means you already did it.
Right.
He should say, and they will turn when they say this.
Right. You're right. It doesn't really fit well with the words. This part of Rav Sadi Goyen. But that's what he explains. That it was Achironis, and now Atasi Boises Libam from Achironis. Meaning you're going to, Asi Boises means bring it closer from the place of Achironis, from being away from you. So bring them closer. You're right, you have to really like twist it a little bit. You have to.
But it seems he's telling him he didn't do it yet. Do it.
Right, right. You're right. It doesn't really fit.
Really, he's going to do it because you're going to do this. They'll see this. Then they'll turn back.
Yeah.
But the way he said, Pisces, you have already turned their hearts backwards.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't really sit well with the words. You're right. It doesn't fit. Doesn't fit well, but that's his pshat. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that what it's referring to the Baal. Atasi boy says sleeve machironis, meaning you're gonna turn their hearts away from the Baal.
Oh.
Meaning not referring to Hashem. You're gonna take their hearts away from the Baal by performing the sneis. That fits in better. But the problem with that pshat is that it says Asi Boisa is past tense. You already turned their hearts away. Right, so it's past tense. It's referring to the past, not to the future. That's the problem with that shot.
Yes, when did he turn them back? I mean,
right. According to that shot, according to the second shot we just mentioned, it's going to happen in the future.
Right.
Meaning, after the nace happens, then you're going to turn your heart. You're going to turn their hearts away from the Baal. Right. So it should be future tense, not past tense.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's the problem with that shot. Yeah?
Yeah, but people see a miracle. Do they change?
Yeah, we see here. This is a clear, there's a prime example for people to change because of a miracle. You wouldn't change if you saw a miracle? You wouldn't be so impressed? Arkady, would you change?
What miracle do you want me to see? I see the grass growing every day. That's a miracle.
Okay.
I see the sun comes up every day. That's a miracle.
Even you see miracles, it doesn't mean anything for some people.
I don't know.
Last parsha is exactly example.
Yeah.
Well, the parsha of the Meraglim.
Yeah.
No, but about spies. All people.
You say it's a miracle.
Miracles,
other people say that's the way it is. That's the way the Big Bang came, and the world became like this, and that's the way it is, and nobody's doing anything about it.
It says
people who believe that have no sense at all. How can you believe it just happened? How can you believe it just happened?
Vayishma Yisro. Yisrael heard. The whole world heard. He was the only one that, you know, that changed.
It was on the news.
Everybody, it was on the news. Everyone heard. They read the newspaper. They saw it on TV.
Hey, flash.
So it did. Right. And that's it.
Flash.
It happened. So what? Hey. We see people. Trump goes to meet a guy from North Korea, and that's a miracle. And everyone else is complaining. Everyone's got a peshat, different one. That's a great thing. No one other president ever did that. No one, he went and changed the embassy to Yerushalayim. That's a great thing in our time.
People don't recognize it.
You believe to talk this, this is for Korea, the leader, is big thing?
Sure, it's a big thing.
It's nothing.
Huh? So you say it's nothing.
No,
to me, it's
nothing.
A big thing.
What is big thing?
This could change the whole world.
What's Korea is? Korea means
what is he talking
sure.
about?
Sure.
North Korea.
North Korea.
He didn't, about North Korea.
He doesn't listen
Donald
to
Trump,
the news, so
Donald Trump met with Kim Jong-un today. Yeah. Yesterday. Yesterday, right?
Yesterday. So what happened? He didn't hear. What difference does it make to him? Could change the whole outlook on the whole world.
Yeah, you're right. People don't necessarily recognize a miracle. But there's two types of miracles. There's a miracle that's hidden, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like the whole story of Purim. What happened in Purim was also a miracle. The Jews were about to be killed. Right? They were about to die. And then what happened was everything turned around. Not only did they not die, Mordechai is now in a position of power. Esther is the queen. The Jews are saved. Beautiful, right? Did it look like it was an open and overt miracle? No. It's called Megillas Esther because it comes from the word Hester, hidden. It was a hidden miracle. It happened over the period of 10 years. Wasn't necessarily so obvious and overt that this is in fact a miracle. There's a different type of miracle that is a nes gully, an open and overt miracle, like what happened in Mitzrayim. What happened in Mitzrayim, the ten makos, the splitting of the sea, Kriyas Yam Suf, all the Nisim in the Midbar, they got manna every day, they got the bear with them, they got the Anana Kovet, that was an open and overt miracle. Right? That was clear. Now, what we're talking about over here with Eliyahu Navi, that's also an open and overt miracle. It's not a hidden miracle. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh my gosh, oh, fire coming down from the sky, burning a wet carbon. No. That doesn't happen every day. That falls under the category of a nes galui. So it's very easy to ignore a nes that happens behester, that happens behind the scenes. It's more hidden. But with an open and overt miracle, that's much harder to ignore. But even then, there's always, even with a nes galui, with an open miracle, there's always a way out to explain it away. The Chinuch says that even in Kriyas Yam Suf, couldn't be a bigger miracle than Kriyas Yam Suf. You have a whole sea just splitting open, you have 3 million people marching through, untouched, they walk out, the sea goes back and kills all the Mithrim. I would say that's a pretty big miracle. Chinuch says that even that kind of nes you could explain away. It says that there was that night of the Kriyas Yam Suf, there was a ruach kalim charishis, right? There was a wind coming in. Right, exactly. And that wind, people could say, oh, you know why the sea split? It was the tide, the way the wind was blowing. That's what caused the sea to split.
I'll ask those people. Did it have happened before? No.
No, but it was a once in a history kind of event.
Why did it happen now?
Right. You're right. It is a clear miracle.
It was the wind. Where'd the wind come from? It just came today. Why didn't the same wind come right through and devastate everything in front of them? That wind was so heavy that it split the sea. It could have ruined everything there. Every living could have killed all the Egyptians standing there. It didn't do that. It didn't
right.
do that. It wasn't. So it was a wind. Where did it come from? It never came before. How can you say that it did this here without harming the people? If you're walking in some cut that kind of a wind, it should blow you. Goodbye, man. The people
right,
walked through. They didn't get big and everything else. And even the soldiers didn't get blown, but going away with the wind. They went in, and then something else happened to them. So I'm sure made the water come back. But the wind itself, a wind like that there, if it was not out of the ordinary, it would blow everything away that's near them. A wind
right.
like that, that's a talk.
You're right. You're right.
You're going to go say it happened, the wind came. Yeah, where'd it come from?
No, you're right. It's there's almost no chance that it could happen, you know, that it's not a nace. But in order to enable bechira, in order to enable free will, there has to be that tiny little percentage of possibility that, you know what, maybe it's not really a nace because it was the wind, because it was this, because it was something else.
You bring the free will. Those are things that's free will. You know why?
Why?
Because whatever you do, somebody's done it before you. You give a choice. With the free will, is you get a choice. Can act like this guy or act like this guy. It really isn't free. When you grow up, you don't know what's going on. Well, you know what's going on. As you grow up, you see people do good things and do good bad things. The guy, the cook, and everything else. Then you have a choice which way you want to go. But it doesn't come when you're born. The free will doesn't come when you're born. It doesn't come until you've seen what's going on in the world. Then you have a choice to follow this one or follow that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then free will. Free will, I feel you, Morgan. If you didn't see it before, you would not know what you want to do. Because somebody else has done it. They grow up and they see how people act. Some people are lousy, some people are good. But you see that now, you have a choice which way you go. But there's no
right.
choice when you're right. born.
The people saw this. They saw it and they believed.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that these other people really did not believe in Hashem. They don't know what Hashem was. They thought the Baal was Hashem, right? That's what it is. So
yeah,
all right, that because they didn't learn before. I mean, you learn that the thing is there. One of the kings turned everything over because they found a safer Torah, and he read what he was supposed to do. These people didn't even know about it. So what they were doing, they were just following what they grow up with. They go like that there, and he comes in and he was kind of tell you, no, I'll show you something else that then they can make up their minds. The free will is, will you want to follow this one or follow that one? That you're not growing up with free will. You don't know when you grow up, you don't know when you're a kid, what's good and what's bad and what's not bad. It's what you see. Your environment. Your environment makes
okay.
how you grow up.
I don't understand the next pasuk, so if
you grow up with a bunch of crooks, you become a crook because you think that's the way the world, that's
right.
the way it should be. Until you see somebody else and no. Then you say, well, then you have a choice. You got to know what you're choosing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it's like your free will, do whatever you want.
Right.
You don't know what to do. You don't know what you do. You don't know when you're born. You're a little kid. You don't know what you're supposed to eat. You're not
mm-hmm.
supposed to eat to keep you healthy.
Right.
You learn these things. And afterwards, you have a choice if you want to do this that way. But you have to know first what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just bomb with free will. Free will of what?
Right. This actually ties into what we're discussing over here now. Because one of the pshatim over here is that it says, meaning if you answer me now, right, they're going to know that you're the God. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you didn't show them a nace until now is going to appear as if you turn their hearts away from Hashem. Meaning what? That Eliyahu, so to speak, Eliyahu in some way is blaming Hashem for Klal Yisrael not believing. He's saying, you know what? You know why B'nai Yisrael don't believe? Because until now, there wasn't a nace. It wasn't an open and overt nace. There was a nace beforehand. Then the Jewish people would have known that you're the real God and not the Baal. But because you didn't show them a nace, that's why they didn't believe until now. That's another pshat. Yes. And then you bring the Medrash, a drash.
That's tough. That's tough to really believe.
Why? Because...
what do you mean they didn't know? I mean, what is he saying? Say that again, what you said. What did he say?
He's saying the fact that there was no nace until now is, so to speak, Hashem's fault that the Jewish people did not believe in Hashem. You turned their hearts away because you didn't make an open nace.
Yeah, but what did the Baal do? Did they believe in him? What did he do? What was the Baal doing that they should believe in the Baal? You're telling me here they didn't believe in Hashem because he didn't do nothing.
But they have a king telling them, Baal. The Baal is our God. That's what the king is telling them. They have a king, they have a leader. He's telling them, this is the Baal. On the other hand, you have Hashem doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what are they supposed to do? Their leader is telling them, this is the God. Hashem is doing nothing. So the choice is clear. No?
What did he do?
What did the Baal do? You're right, the Baal didn't do any nace. But Achav, their king, told them that the Baal is the God.
he didn't need any proof. The people just said...
They followed their leader blindly.
That's all. The same as...
They didn't have free will. They only knew one thing.
Almost zero, but...
They didn't know. They didn't know anything else. He said this way, this is the way it's supposed to be. They had no free will to do something else because they didn't know anything else. Well, free will means you know this way and this way, and then you choose which way you want to do it. That's it. But if you don't know what the heck that guy do, why are you following him? What's a free will? What else? They had no other option. But they grew up that way. If you grow up in school and the teacher tells you, this is like this, that's all you know. Until you learn something else. If there's something else. If they let you learn something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I can't understand the next pasuk. Where did all these people come from?
Wait, hold on. We still have a few more pshatim in this pasuk.
Hmm?
We still have another pshat in this pasuk. Right. Yeah. So the matter says that if you don't answer me now, I will also appear. Eliyahu is saying I will also appear as a koifer, as a heretic.
As a what?
As a koifer, a heretic.
A heretic.
Yes. And I will say that you turn their hearts away. Meaning, I will be the one to preach against you, so to speak. So you're going to cause me myself to turn away from you. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi is saying. If you don't do this nace, it's kind of like a threat. Like, you better do it, or else I'm going to tell the Jewish people that you're not the God.
But that's pretty good. That I could see somebody that doesn't know anything, but God talked to him. Now he's telling God, he says, if you don't do this here, I'm going to do this. How can he say such a thing? I mean, well, how can he say, a person who don't know any better follows what he knows. But he spoke, God spoke to him, told him what to do. Now he comes, he says, I get it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
No, the thing is, because God told him what to do.
Yeah.
And he's doing it. Now he says, you better do what you told me. Otherwise, what I said didn't mean anything.
Right.
That's what he's... Yeah, okay.
We find this by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Moshe Rabbeinu also says, Im kemois kol adam yimusin eile, lo yashem shalachani. Right? Meaning, if Hashem, again, you don't do what I say, then I'm going to say that it's really not Hashem that sent me. So it's the same kind of idea. That, and then we have one last pshat that says, Atasi boises libam.
Excuse me. You know, that's like, it's less like when Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe said, no. Why? Because the Egyptians will think that you couldn't do what you wanted to do.
Right.
It's the same thing here.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he can say it like that. There. You got to have even you're talking to Hashem, but you have to have a reason to tell him. You know, you shouldn't be so harsh. It's hard about it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So another pshat is that Atasi both aslibam, because Eliel is blaming Hashem. He's saying you should have been the one to make their hearts go towards you. The fact that you didn't make their hearts do tshuva, you didn't have them do tshuva, you didn't awaken them up for tshuva, that's a new Hashem. So to speak.
All right. How could he do it?
It says, right?
Huh?
It says in the Pasuk.
But we have free will. We're not a bunch of puppets.
I mean, you're the saying...
Hashem is pulling the strings.
These people have free will. They can do whatever they have with their damn wills. Right? So how can you tell them you didn't change them? I don't have to change them.
It says in the pasuk, "Ashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva," meaning you, Hashem, Ashivenu, you have to return us, and then we will do tshuva. Ashivenu Hashem Elecha. Right?
Well, and I was just saying now is just what I said a long time ago. I got all the things when the Mashiach is going to come.
Right.
He's not going to come like this. He's always going to come until Hashem does something to make the people come back. Then he's going to come. They can't do it on themselves.
Right.
That's why it's what's happening now. So why does he do it now? I mean, you're waiting 6,000 years, but it's still, if Hashem doesn't do that, turn them around, they're not going to do it by themselves. It seems when it'll come, when everybody realizes that this is the way to do it. Well, without Hashem's help and doing it doesn't happen.
Right.
I'm always saying all these things that happen to the things that they do this and do this and do that. But in every, like I said, even all the Haftarahs, he tells it, and he says, but at the end he says, but don't worry, it's going to be all right. Later, when the time comes, Hashem's going to turn everybody around. So, why does he have to wait all this time and all the people die for them to happen? They're not going to do it on themselves. He's saying, that's what exactly he's saying over here.
Yeah.
He's saying exactly over here, if you don't do anything now, it'll be, what you, that's it. They can't do it by themselves. A human being just can't grasp the whole, you know, what's really going on.
Right.
But it's the same question. Why did God make the tree of life and the tree of things and said don't eat it?
Right.
What did he make it for? What was its purpose? What was his purpose? To catch him. He created Adam, and that's it. He's perfect. His wife is perfect. Now he gives him a chance to become not so perfect. And then later he says, "I want people to come back to be that perfect." So why did he tempt him in the first place? It's something I when I'm up there, I'll have to ask.
Yeah, it's not a simple question. So then he brings the parish of the Rambam that Atas Iboises Libam Machironis means that you turn their heart away, meaning because they were so involved in Avodah Zarah, you turned their heart away. Right? And you made sure they would not be able to do tshuva. Just like Hashem did for Paray. It says, V'chazek Hashem eslev Paray. Hashem hardened Paray's heart. Same thing Hashem did to the Jewish people. Right? It could be a situation, a metzias, where a person can be so involved, so engrossed in chet, in avera, that Hashem doesn't let them do tshuva. They're so involved. So that's what Eliyahu was now saying. He's
saying you didn't. What was Hashem supposed to do?
No, Hashem actually actively made them not do tshuva. He made sure they would not do tshuva until now, because they were so involved in avodah zarah, just like Paray, when Paray went ahead. And Paro, okay, we have to stop. When Paro did all these bad things for the Jewish people, the first five makos, he still had free will. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. After five makos, Hashem says, sorry, it's too late. Even if you want to do tshuva right now, I'm not going to let you. Because it's too late. So it's over here. The Jewish people, they were so involved in Avodah Zarah that Hashem said, if you want to do tshuva now, it's too late. I'm not going to let you to do it anymore. Okay, we have to stop there.